without you. I would have lost it all, but now I see how you were there for me, and I can say never would have made it. Oh, I never would have made it, yeah, without you. I would have lost it all, but right now I see you were the one there for me, and I can say yeah, I'm stronger, Lord, I'm wiser, I'm better, so, so much better. When I look back over all you brought me through, I see with you, you were the one I held on to, and I never, oh, I never, without you, I would have lost it all. I would have lost it all, but right now I see you are the one there for me, and I never, I never, yeah. Oh my, 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 I would have lost it all, and tonight, this morning, I just want to make a declaration that all of us were stronger, I'm wiser, thank God I'm better, anybody better. When you look back over all he's brought you through, would you look back and say you are the one I have? Look at somebody and say, I'm stronger this morning. I'm wiser this morning. And I'm better this morning. I don't know what you've been through, but take confidence that you're stronger. That whatever you went through made you stronger. And whatever mistakes you may have made, it made you wiser. And today as a whole, you are better. Father, we thank you for allowing us to be better. Better for you. Father, now we've come to the preaching moment. And we need to hear from you. If we don't hear from you, Father, we don't know what to do. We've heard from CNN, and we've heard from Republican parties, and we've heard from FEMA, and we've heard from this official and that official. Now, God, we need to hear from you. Speak to us in this place. It's in your name we do pray. We give thanks. Let us all say amen. 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 Dave, give me some more here in these monitors, please. We honor the Lord and thank him for his power. I want to thank God for our senior pastor this morning. Can we give God praise for him? Amen. 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 He could call anybody. And I'm grateful that he called on me. There was a certain church member who was identified as a faithful member and attender of weekly worship services, who all of a sudden stopped going to church. After a few weeks, the pastor of the congregation noticed their absence and decided to visit him. On the day that the pastor decided to visit, he recalled it being a chilly evening. When the pastor arrived, he found the man at home alone, sitting in front of a blazing fire. Guessing the reason for the pastor's visit, the man welcomed him in and led him to the big chair that sat near the fireplace and waited. The pastor made himself comfortable and said nothing, and in grave silence, he contemplated the play on flames around the burning logs. After several minutes had passed, the pastor decided to pick up the fire tongs and carefully picked up a brightly burning ember. He took it out of the fire and placed it on the floor of the fireplace all alone. The pastor then sat back in his chair, still and silent. Saying nothing, the man watched in quiet fascination as the lonely and isolated ember, the flame, began to diminish. He watched as the ember went from glowing with brightness to becoming blackened with darkness, as the fire was no more. Finally, when the ember had become completely cold and dead as a doorknob, the pastor, still saying nothing, picked up his coat, grabbed his keys, and once more picked up that cold and dead ember, put it back in the middle of the fire, and immediately it began to burn and glow as it once did. It was surrounded with light, filled with light and warmth with the other coals that surrounded it. As the pastor concluded his visit by reaching for the door and beginning to leave, the man said, "Pastor, thank you so much for your visit and especially for the fiery sermon. I'll be back in church this Sunday." The moral of the story is that when we are disconnected and out of fellowship with God and those who are a part of the family of God, we run the risk of missed opportunities, and the opportunity is to burn bright in the area of our relationship with God and our fellow man. Certainly, most of us can identify with this narrative, especially after having to deal with the strain and the storms of Hurricane Beryl. No one wants to be disconnected from power, from lights, from internet or phone services, or even the ability to use your appliances in your home. I believe most of us will agree that connection matters. But what about when the disconnection that you are experiencing is not with temporal things, but it is with God? How do you restore a connection that has been distorted with God? And today, that's what I want to talk to you from. That subject, how to restore your connection with God. How to restore your connection with God. Number one, you must realize that your distance is causing your disconnection with God. Watch what the scripture says. Now Thomas, one of the 12 called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. Here in this passage of scripture, the historical context of John chapter 20 helps us to know and understand that at the time of this text, that the resurrection of our Lord and Savior is no longer in question, but is now a historical fact, which suggests unto you and I that the resurrection is not a myth, it's not a folk tale, it's not a misconception, it's not a misbelief, a fallacy, or fiction, but it is undoubtedly a historical fact. Whereas the historical truth of the resurrection allow us to attest to the reality that during this time the claims of God were vindicated, the power of God was demonstrated, and the Son of God was elevated. Ultimately, which caused us to see the availability of salvation, the surety of heaven, and the security of in a risen Savior. But not only has resurrection taken place as a historical event, but the text also allows us to see that there's a meeting on the night of resurrection, and that has already occurred as well. The Bible lets us know that on the night of resurrection, the disciples of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ have voluntarily foregone a shelter in place ordinance, whereas they are quarantined behind barred doors for the fear of the Jews. The Bible says that Jesus, without invitation, call, or summon, interrupts their fearful gathering by walking through locked doors, which served as their false sense of security. And in doing so, he begins to give them what I like to call the resurrection package. He gives them his peace. He gives them his presence. He gives them his proof. And then in turn, they break out in praise. And then he endows them with power so that they can fulfill his purpose. Oh, what a resurrection evening, because it was just as exciting as resurrection morning. According to the scriptures, all of the disciples were in attendance and accounted for, except for Judas, who by this time had submitted himself to suicide, and the one who most of us recognize as doubting Thomas. The Bible is clear that although that there's an empty tomb, there is now an empty seat. And based off of what we've read in the scriptures, that seat belongs to Thomas. Thomas, according to our text, is nowhere to be found, nowhere on the scene, nowhere in reach. Thomas is missing. And while other disciples are together locked up in the upper room, Thomas was the disciple who was missing from the group, missing out on the fellowship of the disciples. He was missing out on the community of faith. And it is no secret, church, that maybe he was missing because he responded differently to the crucifixion than everybody else. Everybody responded to the crucifixion differently. For Peter, it caused him to deny him. For the other disciples, it caused them to forsake him. For Joseph of Arimathea, it caused him to identify with him. For Nicodemus, it caused him to be drawn in by him. But for Thomas, it drove him. This crucifixion crisis drove him to a place of withdrawal, separation, discomfort, disconnection, isolation, and displacement. Thomas has alienated himself from the community of the other believers because of his own fear, because of his own uncertainty, because of his own inability to grapple with the reality that Jesus did die. Thomas, in short, is feeling some type of way. Thomas represents every Christian believer who's ever struggled to believe God in difficult times. Thomas represents every Christian who's been skeptical about the plan of God within tumultuous time. Thomas is every believer who's grown weary in their walk and their witness with the Lord as they struggle with what to believe as they look their disposition and their plight straight in the face. Thomas is missing. And no, we're not told where Thomas is or what Thomas is doing. All we know is Thomas is missing. And as a consequence, he missed out on much that the Lord offered the other disciples on resurrection night. Because he decided to miss church, Thomas becomes the object lesson of how detrimental it can be when believers purposely miss out and avoid the assembly of the saints. Thomas missed out on the resurrection package. The reassuring presence of God, the calming peace of God, the resurrection proof from God, the shared praise for God, the renewed purpose from God. Thomas missed out on Jesus. And for 8 days, Thomas lived under the shadow of the crucifixion. For 8 days, Thomas lived with no flowing connection with God. For 8 days, Thomas lived with the outcome of yesterday and forfeited the promise and the reality of today. Thomas missed out on the good news. The good news that early on Sunday morning, before the rooster could crow, before the women could make their way to the tomb, that Jesus was raised from the dead. Thomas is absent. He missed out on that resurrection announcement, and because he elected to initiate his own failure to appear today, brother, I submit to you that he stayed in that dark place too long. Thomas stayed disconnected and in disbelief too long. Thomas had not been present, but if he had been present, God would have pulled him out of that paralyzing pit. And oh, child of God, the relevant question today is, are you Thomas? How long have you been disconnected from God? Thomas missed out on what God wanted to show him, the strength that God wanted to give him, all because he was not where Christ was. And oh, my brothers and sisters, maybe you're Thomas today and you've been disconnected from God, or you're not as connected to God because of what has transpired within your life. Maybe today you're like Thomas. You know what it means to have a relationship with God, but now you're out of fellowship with God. Maybe you're sitting here surveying your life as you listen to me. You're beginning to identify some missing Thomases in your life and within your family circle. Matter of fact, church, I'm more than sure if we would just take a moment of serious inventory that you and I can look around and find some missing Thomases in our church. I'm sure if we're intentional, we can look around and find some missing Thomases in our community. And maybe you're the person here today who lives with a missing Thomas, who works with a missing Thomas. And because life has caused them to be in a dark place and caused them to doubt, they are now displaced. The pressures of life has caused them to retreat on their faith that they once had. The suffering that has separated and silenced them. Their pain has put them in the pit. Their burden has put them back on the shelf. But whatever the case, Thomas is missing. And today I came to talk to Thomas. Thomas, I want you to know, I know that you're here. And I know that you're listening. Thomas, I came to tell you that your distance apart from God is causing your disconnection with God. And it's hard to continue with Christ when you're disconnected from Christ. You've got to learn, Thomas, how to close the gap, because your proximity is hindering your intimacy. Matter of fact, Thomas, if you're here today, I need you to check your connection. Because wherever there's disconnection, effectiveness is compromised. You can't function effectively when there's a lapse in connection. You can't function effectively when there's a lapse in connection. You don't believe me, do you? What good is a TV that's disconnected from the cable service, Wi-Fi or a Fire Stick? What good is a phone that's disconnected from a cellular tower? What good is a power circuit that's disconnected from a power source? What good is peanut butter when it's disconnected from jelly? What good is any believer that's disconnected from God? And might I suggest that some of us are living, but the problem is we're not living connected. John 15 and 5 reminds us that where what Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I am him, he bringeth forth much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. I need to tell somebody that God is ready to reconnect you, and your feelings may be valid, your hurt may be valid, but your distance is causing your faith decline. Thomas, you don't realize that your separation is actually hurting your sanity and hindering your sanctification. And the Savior wants to solve that for you today. Thomas, you may have your doubts and fears, and your eyes may be filled with tears, but let me tell you, Jesus is a friend who watches day and night. You'll find out that if you go to him in prayer, that he knows your every care, and just a little talk with Jesus will make it right. Thomas, if you could just reposition and realign yourself where Christ is, you'll have a little talk with Jesus. You can tell him all about your troubles. He'll hear your faintest cry, and he'll answer by and by. You'll feel a little fire, the prayer will turn, and you'll know a little fire burning, and just a little talk with Jesus will make it right. If you could just make yourself available to be reconnected to God, then he's more than really willing and able to reconnect you, because that's what resurrection is all about. A matter of fact, James 4 and 8 says, if you draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. Choose to address your distance, because your disconnection is because you're not present. You're not present in his presence or in prayer. And many of us are crying out, where is God? When the reality is, he's never moved. He's right where you left him. Second thing I need to tell you is, you must realize that your doubt is distorting your reception for God. Your distance is causing your disconnection. But your doubt is distorting your reception. Watch what happens here, church. Verse 25. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. Didn't even take him no time. Watch this. But he said to them, until I see with my eyes, the hands that were marked by the nails, place my finger into the mark of his nail, place my hand in his side, I will never believe. Thomas could not hear them despite what they had already seen. And as this passage progresses, the Bible says that Thomas finally arrived back on the scene. And instead of the disciples choosing to guilt trip him, question him about his whereabouts, about him missing, they meet him with a message. That message was a testimony from them, but it served as encouragement for him. All of them shared the same testimony. They looked on Thomas and said, Thomas, we've seen the Lord. And oh, child of God, may this be a lesson to us, that whenever we experience a person who is weak within their walk, our first and initial response ought to be one that strengthens them by way of our witness. Matter of fact, never fail to acknowledge the power of your testimony, because your testimony has power. It is significant in impact. And it can give others strength. Realizing that our testimony could be the very thing that brings somebody back to a place of restoration. Your testimony could be the very thing that helps somebody to remember that the same God that came searching after you is the same God that's seeking after them. Your testimony could be the very thing that keeps somebody from giving up, throwing in the towel. Well, the Bible says they testify. They testify to the reality that we've seen the Lord. We've seen the Lord show up in our situation. We've seen the Lord comfort, give us comfort in our crisis, give us hope for our hopelessness. He's given us joy in our sorrow. He's given us strength for our struggles. He's given us a word in our weakness. He's given us help for our hurt. Thomas, we've seen the Lord. And somebody here needs to testify that that's the crowd you're in this morning, that you've seen the Lord. And your testimony is, yes, I've seen some good days, and yes, I've seen some bad days, and I've even seen some hills that I've had to climb, but out of all that I've seen, I've seen the Lord do what I couldn't do for myself. I've seen God give me proof, and he stayed his hand of grace, his hand of mercy, his hand of power, his hand of love and protection. And out of all that I've seen, my report about God today is that I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed beg for bread. Thomas, we've seen the Lord. The Bible lets us know that despite Thomas hearing that these 10 testimonies in a unified voice, that Thomas chose not to believe. The Bible says that Thomas boldly says that unless and until I place my hands where his wounds are, unless I see it with my own eyes, I'll never believe your report about him or his resurrection. Thomas, you see, the problem with Thomas, now some of you Thomas is about to get uncomfortable because the problem with Thomas is that his distance caused his disconnection, but now his doubt has made him dull of hearing. Thomas could not hear that report because doubt had robbed him the ability to receive anything about God. That's the thing about doubt. Doubt, although sometimes it's subtle, it's always serious. You got to watch this doubt. And if we're not careful, that's what doubt would do. Every time you give it space to distort your experience with God. Not only would doubt fill your heart, but doubt would clog up your ears. So you won't be able to hear the word of faith, that you might receive the strength you need for your journey. You've got to watch doubt, church, because doubt will remember what you've forgotten. You see, doubt don't want you to remember what you've forgotten. Doubt knows that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Church, had Thomas not rejected the testimony of the other disciples, he would have renewed his faith in the Savior. But doubt, in a short time, though it was subtle, it was serious, it had done a number on Thomas, and it left him spiritually deaf. He had gotten to the point where his antennas were turned off. His sensitivity to the Spirit had diminished, and sin had crept in. Do you see what just happened in that text? He lost connection with God. And because he was disconnected to God, he lost the ability to receive from God. And because he lost the ability to receive anything about God, he started talking crazy towards God. He moved from separation to sin. Why? Because wherever there's no open reception, there can be no proper response. Let me say it again. Wherever there's no open reception, there can be no proper response. I have a lot of family members on my father's side who are deaf. And if I talk to you, I could tell you to pass me this, give me that, whatever, and you could hear me and adhere to it. But if I'm talking to one of my cousins who just so happens to be deaf, if they're turned around from me and I can't sign what it is that I want to say to them, they can't hear me. No matter how loud I say it, no matter how many times I say it. Why? Because there's no open reception. And because there's no open reception, there's no proper response. And somebody here today, you need to realize that that's what doubt is doing to you. Because if you're not careful, doubt will claim your thoughts and then begin to talk with your tongue. Because whatever you're filled with, you're controlled by. Whatever you are filled with, you are controlled by. You don't believe me? Get drunk. Whatever fills you, control. And then next day you're talking about blaming on the because whatever fills you controls you. So if you're filled with liquor, you'll be controlled by liquor. If you're filled with the Spirit, you'll be controlled by the Spirit. If you're filled with doubt, you'll be controlled with doubt. Whatever fills you controls you. If you're full of mess, you're controlled by mess. Y'all don't like me this morning. That's all right. Whatever fills you, control. And you can always tell what fills a person. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Whatever controls, that's not my point. But whatever fills you, you've got to. It controls you. And that's why Thomas was in bad shape that day. Because he moved from being separated to sinful, which is the natural course for those who are disconnected. You don't have nowhere else to go but sin. Thomas doubted God by rejecting the disciples' testimony. And Thomas shows us that whenever you're at an obscure place, there's an abundance of doubt. Thomas couldn't hear because he needed to see. Oh, child of God, you would think that after all Thomas had seen, that he would just take them at their word. Matter of fact, Thomas had already seen him heal the sick, raise the dead, heal the lepers, walk on water, calm the stormy sea, confound the wise, feed the multitude, turn water into Moscato and Chardonnay. But because doubt is progressive, doubt hadn't done a number on Thomas. So much so that he couples it with demands. I'm not going to believe until God does this. Thomas don't know that Thomas, the reason why your deliverance is delayed is because you keep putting demands on God. And had you been where you were supposed to be a week ago, you would have been strengthening your faith. Thomas, you missed out on what you're looking for 8 days ago. That's the thing about Thomas. Thomas demanded proof, but wasn't at church to get it. Thomas demanded from God that God show him a sign. Show him the wounds. But when time that God was there to show, when God wanted to show it to him, Thomas was missing. He was not where Christ was. Can I ask you a question? Are you the one that's standing in the way of your own deliverance? You demanding stuff from God, but God is saying, you in the way. Thomas, his previous actions was the reason for his present attitude. Thomas was having a hard time with the Savior. But had he been anywhere around church or around the saints of God, Thomas would have had a different attitude. a different conversation, a different demeanor, and he would have been exposed to the Savior. Last thing I need to tell you, how to restore your connection to God. How to restore your connection to God. Number one, your distance is causing your disconnection. Number two, your doubt is distorting your reception. But then number three, you need to release your demands for God and begin to declare that he is God. 8 days later, the scripture says, verse 26 through 29, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be unto you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. What you're asking for, I'm going to give it to you." He said, "See my hands. Put out your hand and place it in my side. Don't disbelieve." Thomas, stop being a non-believer. But believe. Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said unto him, "You believe because you've seen me. Blessed are those who believe and don't see." The Bible says that 8 days later, in the midst of all of this, Jesus shows up again for the second time. And he shows up right where they are. Let me pause and just say, God can show up right where you are. You can be shut in by fear, and he'll show up where you are. You can be saturated with doubt, and he'll show up where you are. You can be dealing with tumultuous times, and God will show up right where you are, because God specializes in showing up right where you are. Jesus showed up, but he didn't show up empty-handed or empty-hearted. The Bible says he came with peace, and he came with an agenda. And interestingly enough, church, don't miss this in this passage. He shows up for Thomas. He's not there for the other 10 disciples. He's there for Thomas. Jesus didn't bring up the fact that he went missing in action. He didn't require him to go to a rededication process. He didn't put him on the mourner's bench. He didn't remind him of his lack of presence. He didn't even question where he had been. And church, I believe Jesus and the disciples show us a valuable lesson of how to deal with the displaced, the missing in action, and the disconnected. I would suggest to you that part of Christian discipleship, hear me, is learning how to close the back door so that Thomas won't have a lapse and leave, but also learning how to open the front door so that Thomas can know he can come back home. Matter of fact, those of us who remain stable in our connection not only have to seek to strengthen those who are saved, we've got to seek those who are in sin. Because some disciples, listen to me, church, as we are in our disciple-making culture, some disciples are missing because they're missing, but some disciples are missing because they have not been made. Some folk are missing because they're missing, but other folks are missing because they have not been made. When's the last time you looked for Thomas? If you're not him, you ought to be looking for him. That person who's still locked up due to the pandemic, afraid to restart their lives because of the effects of COVID. That person who's afraid to come out of hiding because they've had a failed marriage, a criminal charge, a baby out of wedlock, a sustaining relationship with drugs and alcohol, a lapse in judgment, a critical mistake that changed their life forever. When's the last time you looked for Thomas? And we, church, as a body of believers, have a charge to restore Thomas so that they can reconnect with God, because that's what resurrection is all about. Resurrection is intended to bring us back together as a family of God, connect us back to the fellowship, put us back in the community. And if the church ain't the hospital, what is it? Thomas needed proof from God, and God didn't have a problem giving it to him. He said, Thomas, since you so been a kindergartner about this, he said, examine me. He said, take your time, look me over. Jesus was giving him the opportunity to give him a physical. He says, in the Greek, it literally means, Jesus said, touch, feel, squeeze until you're satisfied. Get all the proof that you need today that I am God and that I am done. I have done what I said I would do. Guess what Peter did? Peter looked up at him and said, my Lord and my God. I read that and said, ain't that just like a Negro? I promise you, that's the first thing I said when I read that script. I said, ain't that just like, I didn't say Negro. I said, that's just like a, you know, because Thomas couldn't believe it unless he saw it. And we really ought to thank God in this text, because Thomas, God spoke to his doubt. And child of God, you will never see your deliverance and your restoration if you're yet holding on to your doubt. You got to drop your doubt and your demands and start calling him the divine. Thomas, Jesus had to treat Thomas like a cancer that was spreading rapidly. And the only way he could get to him was to cut it all out. Jesus was the antidote. Jesus was the cure. Jesus resurrected. And because he resurrected, he reconnected. I'm done off of this, but that sounds like us today, church. We were separated because of sin. We were gripped by sin. But Jesus was the cure. Thomas was running the risk of becoming an unbeliever. And the Bible says that Jesus didn't scold him, neither did he separate him. But rather, he rebuked the sin. Because the sin is to doubt Jesus. And that's all I came to tell you this morning. We were not there on crucifixion night. No, we were not there on resurrection morning or resurrection night. But we believe, yet even when we did not see. Because we understand salvation comes by hearing. Hearing the word of God, faith come by hearing, but salvation does not require you to see. It requires you to believe. We walk by faith and not by sight. Jesus came to him, and I'm so glad that we serve a God who will make a second trip for us. Even when we're out of pocket, you know I'm right about it. Even when we're out of pocket, he comes to make a second trip for us. Even when we're dislocated and we deny and doubt him, he makes a second trip for us. And you know that what that reminds me of? It reminds me of the good shepherd who leaves the 99 just to reclaim the one. I believe Thomas was restored that day, and I could hear him singing that song about peaches and herb. I could hear him singing, I was a fool to ever leave your side. Me minus you is such a lonely ride. The breakup that we had has me lonesome and sad. I realize I love you because I want you back. And then they began to say, reunited, and it feels so good. Reunited because we understood that there's one perfect fit. And Jesus, this is it. And we both are so excited because we've been reunited. And there's somebody here today whose life is in disorder. There's somebody here today whose life is in disarray. Somebody Somebody here today, you've been disconnected, but I've got good news for you, that when you look at Thomas's story, Thomas is not by himself, because Thomas is reconnected to the Lord in John chapter 20. But in John chapter number 21, Peter needs to be reconnected as well. Peter said to the others, I'm going fishing. I'm going back to what's comfortable. I'm going back to what's convenient. I'm done with this discipleship stuff. But Jesus showed up on the lake and said, come here, Thomas. Come here, Peter. I know you're disconnected, but I showed up for you. And I'm trying to tell somebody, if you need to be reconnected today, you're in good company. So let me say it like this. In case you have fallen by the wayside of life, dreams and visions shattered, you're all broken inside, you don't have to stay in the shape that you're in. The potter wants to put you back together again. Oh, the potter wants to put you back together again. In case your situation has turned upside down and all that you accomplished is now on the ground, you don't have to stay in the shape that you're in. The potter wants to put you back together, together again. So you who are broken, stop by. You new mending, stop by. You who are disconnected, stop by and give him the fragments of your broken life. Oh, my brothers and sisters, that's what I came to tell you. The potter wants to put you back together again. So today, excuse me, I'm not looking for connected people. I'm looking for Thomas. I'm looking for Thomas. I'm looking for Thomas. I'm looking for Thomas, the one that's doubting God. I'm looking for Thomas, the one that's dull of hearing. I'm looking for Thomas, the one that's disconnected. Thomas, come forth, because God is ready to restore your connection. And maybe the problem is, Thomas, you forgot who he is. You forgot who he is. Well, Thomas, let me tell you, he's the master and the Messiah. He's the Savior and he's sovereign. He's our rock, Redeemer and risen Lord. He's our substitute, sacrifice and sufficient one. He's our cornerstone, counselor and creator. He's our day spring, deliverer and door. He's our good shepherd, governor and great priest. He'll rock you to sleep at night. Yes, he will. He'll stand by you when nobody will stand up for you. He gives me joy unspeakable. He showers blessings unthinkable. He gives me peace unexplainable. Water can't drown him. Fire can't burn him. Armies can't defeat him. Satan can't stand him. The grave couldn't hold him. Herod couldn't kill him. The Pharisees couldn't confuse him. Nero couldn't crush him. Hitler couldn't silence him. Because when he speaks, demons tremble. When he speaks, the storm has to cease. When he speaks, death has to rise. When he speaks, the blind see. When he speaks, the lame walk. When he speaks, the